Good morning. We are going to see how long my battery lasts. So this is hilarious. It's Q&A day. You would think that I do this every Thursday, that I would have a really good grip on time. Well, I go out this morning. I'm like, oh, I'm going to walk. I'm going to listen to some podcasts. Like, I swear to God, I got out on the trail, walking, not even paying attention to the time. I was just like, I had my favorite podcaster queued up. And I was just listening to them just roll. They were just like one right after another. And I looked down at my watch. I'm like not even close to my house. Very far away. And I noticed that I had 22 minutes to get back to the house for this live. I did this last week, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. And so I hauled ass. Like I'm like walking, like, what do you call those people that do speed walking? Because my legs are just dead. Like, there was no running involved in this. I tried to run once, and it was so jackadoodle that I stopped that. And I was like, I am better off walking fast because I'm barely running any faster than that. So anyway, I got back 3 minutes ago. So this is why you see me looking so lovely and amazing and all things. So guys, if you have questions, make sure you go ahead and start asking them. Use hashtag ask so that we could get this going. So Mary Jo is in the comments and she is going to post to me anything you guys are asking. So whatever it is you need help with, now's a really good time to ask. I am drinking this morning Synergy Trilogy. I had to look at it. This is kombucha. So for those of you who don't drink kombucha, first of all, it doesn't taste. I always tell Logan, he's like, what's that taste like? And I'm like, a little bit like sauerkraut with juice. So it's very tart. It's very, I love it, but it's for the acquired taste. But these things, I just think they're so good for you. Like, I think anytime that we can get any kind of fermented something inside of us. So for all of you that's been following like the rage of probiotics over the last few years and stuff, kombucha is fermented. And what it does is it allows to kind of restore and populate some of the good bugs and stuff that's inside of your stomach and whatnot. It's just good for a lot of things. It can help with poop and stuff like that. I drink one every day just about now. I used to only drink one every few days. I kind of drink one about every day now. I love them. They just, they're kind of like a treat. And a lot of times what I also do is at night, I pour them into like a wine glass. My girlfriend and I, in fact, when we went to California recently, we poured them into wine glasses. And that's what we drank that night. So it was kind of like a treat or something. So they are super good. All right, some questions are coming in while I'm waiting on Mary Jo. I'm going to go ahead and start so we can get going. First of all, I got to put my glass. Oh, wait. She got it. All right. Put my glasses on. I'm not going to be able to read. Bobby Ritchie, I don't see you in here as a question. I just realized I'm eating to maintain. I hit maintenance. What's the question, Bobby? I don't really understand what your question is. If you're in maintenance, you should be eating to maintain. Good job. All right, so here's Katie. When I make my plan and go to eat, often I just don't care what's on my plan and eat what I want. I get so frustrated with my weight, but in the moment I'm eating, I just don't care. Would love any tips. Yeah, you're gonna have to figure out a way to care in the moment. So here's how you care in the moment. Number one, you need to make sure that before you go out to eat, like, I mean, like 30 minutes. This is what I told somebody one day. It was like, oh, you're going out to eat tonight? Here's the plan. The day before, you make the plan. You start visualizing not wanting to eat what's on the plan. You start visualizing yourself being super interested and saying, fuck it, and all this other stuff. And then you visualize yourself rerouting your brain. That is for sure what's going to happen every single time. You're not going to give a fuck every single time. That's the habit you have formed. And the reason why it's a habit is because every time you don't give a fuck, you're like, oh, that's a good reason to just keep eating. Rather than, I don't give a fuck. Oh yeah, that's that shit I tell myself every single time. And then before you fuck it all up, you say like, here's what I really don't give a fuck about. I'm tired of every Friday weighing in and being fucked up in the head because of eating off my plan. Like, you have to have this conversation a lot. Like a lot. You guys think I make a plan. I don't understand when I go why I don't just follow the plan. It's like making the plan is like barely even getting dressed. It'd be like, I don't understand when I go to work, they fire me for nudity. I mean, I wore panties. Like, that's what you guys are doing. It's like, you're not putting on the whole ensemble. You're showing up to work in your underwear and wondering why you're getting fired everywhere you work. So, you have to make the plan the day before. And then you need to be thinking about here's all the excuses. I'm not going to care. I'm going to want to just eat. I'm going to think it's fun. Like, all these things are going to come up. And here's what I'm going to be telling myself. Here is the conversation I need to have. It's like, before I even walk into the restaurant, I need to say, like, we're going to be on plan because tomorrow I am not going to sit around and feel like shit. I refuse to be the person who wakes up the next day hating myself because I can't follow the plan. I know I'm not going to want to follow it. But today, I'm going to be really uncomfortable. Today, I'm going to go in there and not like it because I'm not going to get what I want. Because you're going to get what you want tomorrow. But that has to happen. So it's like the day before you make the plan, the day of when you wake up that morning, you review the plan. You have that same conversation again. You visualize, you talk to yourself, you imagine not wanting it. Like if that is your pattern, then we know the pattern is just going to repeat. And then before you go, guess what? You're going to do all that shit one more time. And then whoever you're going with, speak up for yourself. If you got a girlfriend or somebody, just say like, look, girl, we are going out to eat. This is what I'm eating. Let me tell you why. I don't want you talking me out of it. I don't want you telling me I should just have fun. I don't want you doing any of that. You know why? I've been doing that and I'm so fucking tired of not losing weight. Here's what I actually need from you, friend or husband or whatever. I do this all the time. I will say to Chris, I need you to tell me no. I am not going to like you in the moment. I'm probably going to be a pissy ass bitch. Who knows what's going to happen? But what I can promise you is I'm so tired the next day not liking myself because I'm not willing to just be uncomfortable and start learning how to go out to eat and not make it all about the food, whatever it is. So those are the things that we have to do. How can I better commit to my plan? Kathy told me that's what I'm struggling with. Same thing I just said. Like, that's how you commit to your plan, guys. You make a plan that you're willing to commit to, and then once that deal is done, you need to, like, be solid. Like, solid with yourself. Honest with yourself. Upfront with yourself. You need to visualize not wanting to follow it. Then you need to visualize yourself following it, it being uncomfortable, but you telling yourself, it is worth this. It will be worth it. I promise you right now, brain, you are not going to want to do it. And you're going to tell me how it's not worth it. And then you visualize yourself the next day feeling so proud of yourself. That's how we start committing. Now, you can make plans that are easier to commit to. A lot of you are still trying to hold on to the idea of making plans that are incredibly hard to stick with. What if we just make some really realistic plans and start where we're at, level up a little bit, get good at committing first, and then you can work on up-leveling and stuff. But guys, there is not a soul in here. The only people that will say, well, I keep making realistic plans, I'm still not committing to them. No, you're not. You're not. You're making plans you think will cause you to lose weight. If you can't commit to a plan, your top priority is not weight loss this week. Your top priority is learn how to fucking quit acting like a baby about it. That's priority number one. I got to learn how to do the shit I say I'm going to do. It's like, would you ever tolerate, like, your husband saying, you know, like, I know we have this whole marriage thing, but I'm kind of not feeling like it today. I just want to go grab some ass. You'd be like, no, get your commitment bone strengthened. I don't care what you want. This is what we do. Same thing with our kids. You know, I really am kind of getting tired of this high school gig. I know I'm just a sophomore, but I'm just going to, like, just do what I want. I mean, some of my friends even offer me drugs. What do you think? Like, If you wouldn't allow them to just do that shit, why do you allow yourself to just break your word to yourself? Why do you allow yourself to just, like, unrealistically plan for yourself? Why do you allow yourself to, like, do all of that? Don't. Make things easier on yourselves, those guys. Quit making everything so fucking hard and impossible and feats of strength. Hey, Mary Jo, do me a favor. As I answer each one, you need to put the little thumbs up in there so I'll know which one I'm on. The other night after dinner, I had the urge to eat after dinner, so I left the kitchen, wrote about my upcoming vacation, how I wanted that to go, even went outside, but then I ate some chips. What could I have done different not to give in to that urge? Not eat the chips. Do all that, and then the second you wanted to eat the chips, just say, no, we've come too far. It's a thought. You had an urge. It's like you distracted yourself through the first part. Throughout the entire process, rather than just trying to find something else to do, make sure that you do, like you tell yourself, but we're saying no to this urge. Then you can go do something. But what a lot of you do is, here's where the thought is. It's like you start wanting to have chips, and your thought goes to, I better do something else. Rather than, we're saying no to chips, and now we can go do this. And then you have to keep re-emphasizing that part. I hit maintenance, and then after a few months, gained 10 pounds. I've been on plan, but realized I'm eating to maintain. Go back to what you were doing to lose the 10. You have, like, guys, if you have data and you have records, go back to what you were doing. If you're eating to maintain, then you need to cut back a little bit. You're going to have to wait for hunger. Like, when you say, I'm eating to maintain, what's the tip? Here's the tip. This is maintenance. This is weight loss. Now I need to start doing the weight loss. Just write down, here's what maintaining the 10 pounds is. But here's the thing. You're not really maintaining. If you gained 10, you need to tell yourself the truth. I'm not in maintenance mode. I'm in weight loss mode now. I'm not eating to maintain. If you keep thinking I'm eating to maintain, you're going to keep maintaining. You need to say, like, I am in weight loss mode. What do I need to be doing? I'm really struggling with fog eating, going through the mail last night, staying in the kitchen, grabbed a few cookies, and realized afterwards what I did. How do you make yourself aware of fog eating and stop doing it? First and foremost, you have to do the recovery worksheets. The only way fog eating ever cleans up, guys, is by complete awareness. Fog eating is where you're still unconsciously doing it. So we have to, like, shine the light on it, which means you guys with fog eats really have to be doing recovery worksheets, because what you're going to have to do is you have to be like, oh, I notice that when I'm standing in the kitchen, then I tend to eat. So if I'm going to go through the mail, I don't stand in front of the kitchen anymore. That's a trigger. That's like a way for me, like I need to remove myself and go to another location or something, so that if I want to eat cookies, it will become a very conscious behavior. You have to do your recovery worksheets to kind of figure out what are all the things going on. One of the things that I do with fog eaters is, like, you can have whatever you want. Keep a plate out in the kitchen, and then every time you want to eat, you have to put it on the plate, and then you have a designated time you can have it. Like, set up some triggers to make it very conscious versus what fog eating is, which is very unconscious. Can you just yell at me to do the recovery worksheets and TDLs? No. I'm not yelling at you about this. You need to just do it because you're worth it. I do my plan, assess, drink 96 ounces of water, get my sleep, but I still struggle with my plus two and my hunger scale. I'm frustrated that I haven't lost any weight since April, but no, if I'm not losing weight, it means I'm still overeating. Yeah. Just, like, well, let's put it this way. Are you fucking sick and tired of maintaining since April? If you are, do some recovery worksheets. If you're not, keep doing what you're doing. Like, it's your choice. You can just sit around being pissed and frustrated that you're not losing and then keep doing the same sad shit over and over again. Or you can actually get out a fucking recovery worksheet and it takes 2 to 5 minutes and solve your problem. That, I mean, seriously, if you're struggling with your twos, you need to figure out how you're struggling. Why are you not waiting until a negative two? What is it that you think is going to happen to you? You're going to waste away? It's kind of the point. Don't we kind of want to waste away? It's like, you need to, like, come to grips with, like, the reason why I'm not waiting until I'm hungry is because of these things I keep thinking. The reason why I'm not stopping is because of these things I keep thinking. The recovery worksheet takes you through those things. You will never quit struggling with a hunger scale until you understand why you're not following the hunger scale. So that means you're going to have to blow the hunger scale and do the work around understanding what's going on so that you can work on what's going on. Like, a lot of you have this thing about, if I wait until I'm hungry, like, then I'm going to be cranky and all these other things. I'm like, you're fucking cranky every time you weigh in. When your pants don't fit, you're fucking cranky. Hell, I'd be cranky hungry, so at least that has a positive benefit until I learn how to not be cranky. Right? Those are the things we have to think about. But the recovery worksheet is what teaches you that stuff. It allows you to see your thinking. It allows you to understand what's going on there. That's why they're so important. It's why I do them. That's why, like, my overeats are not, you know, like, I don't, like, blow it out of the water like I used to for, like, 3 days, 2 weeks, a whole day, all that kind of stuff. I don't even do that anymore. When I overeat, it's usually like I just catch myself in the moment. I'm like, ah, here I am overeating, and I can stop. Because I've learned to get so aware of what's going on, and I quit judging the process and quit acting like it was a bane of my existence to work on myself. It's like, ask yourself, why don't I want to do, like, where are you, Molly? Why don't you want to do a recovery worksheet? Tell me. This is a good, like, I want to know. This is why I don't want to do the recovery worksheet. Because I'm going to tell all of you, clean your fucking shit up on these recovery worksheets. For those of you, like, so many of you are like, I have set up the legit most simple weight loss system ever. 4 steps. You ain't got to do math. It is, like, really simple. And some of you are still fighting it. Like, well, I just want it to be even easier. It's like, no, you don't even want it to be easier. It's like, in the moment when you don't want to do it, whatever it is the most important moment. Everything else is just like, whatever. That moment that's going to last like 3 minutes max. That moment is the only moment that matters. Put all of your energy and effort, guys, into those small moments that you are hosing yourself. There's so little. Like, do that 90-second countdown. If you don't want to do a recovery worksheet, then do a 90-second countdown. And then go do the recovery worksheet. Get your hip straight on the inside about not doing it. Why would you ever waste the opportunity? You, April, May, and June, for 3 months, every answer to losing 15 to 30 pounds has been sitting there waiting on you to find it. Are you going to wait 3 more months to lose your 15 or 30 pounds? Because of some bullshit that thought you have about a recovery worksheet. But how long it takes? What you're afraid you're going to find? I always love it when you guys tell me, I'm so afraid of what I'm going to find. You know what you're going to find? A fucking solution. You're not going to sit there and be like, I must have been raped at 3 because I ate a cookie tonight. No. You know what you're going to find? You're going to find why you're overeating, and you're going to be giving yourself the opportunity to change it. Right now, you're not giving yourself the opportunity. You're finding frustration with yourself. You're finding loops. That's it. Excuses and justifications. You're finding that everywhere. Stop finding that stuff. It's not helpful. I was eating 2 to 2 last week, but then I found that I was starving on Friday. My weight was down, but I woke up famished. Okay, then eat breakfast. That's called being hungry. This week has been better. Not famished, but the scale is up, and my brain is in the shitter because of it. Am I restricting too much or having trouble finding my twos? You should not be famished. Okay, make sure, first of all, Gretchen, that you start looking at, I want you to look at quality of food. Very often when somebody's hunger scale is like doing that, you're probably having more insulin spikes and drops, which the second the insulin drops, you're going to get hungry fast. So if it's spiking and dropping fast, hunger comes fast, hunger goes fast. Okay. So look at what you're eating and ask yourself, you may be at a point in your, like, first thing I would do is look at the quality of foods you're eating. Are there things you can level up and change out? Are there healthier things you can be doing? Make sure you're getting plenty of fats. So guys, for a lot of you, adding in healthy fats. And if you guys want to know what healthy fats are, Pinterest is a great place to go. Ask in the Facebook group, say, what are healthy fats? And somebody will do that. I'm not going to go through them all on the live. But the fats, what they do is they help kind of level out insulin some. So that's good. The other thing can be like, if you were just really hungry on Friday, what would be wrong with just having a day that you're just really hungry? That may have been the day that your body was really ready to tear into some of your butt. The guy wants you to ask yourself, what was the worst that was going to happen if I just woke up, ate breakfast, and then stayed on plan all day? And I don't know, maybe you were on plan. But then this week, it's like, why not just like, you're like, the scale may be up a little, but I need to know like how much the scale is up, and it's not Friday yet. So this is part of it. So that kind of helps. But like, if you lost last week and the scale's up a little, is it up over what you lost week is a good question. What is the quality of foods you're eating? That kind of thing. There's a lot there that has to be unpacked. I would probably get on the coach's call on Saturday and let Kathy walk you through what all you're doing, and then let's make some tweaks there. Or you can take it over to Ask Coaches. Exercise 3 to 4 times a week fairly regularly, but it's always with someone. I think that's great. When my exercise buddy is on vacation, I'm struggling to go by myself. Yeah, because it's only because you are used to going with the other person. It's always going to be harder. Like if accountability, and that makes it easier, it's always going to be harder to go on your own. And that's okay. You just need to tell yourself, it's fine to struggle while she's gone, but I'm going anyway. I have great intentions to do it, then I don't. You just need to like say, this is a really good opportunity for me to practice not doing things that I don't want to do. It's a really good opportunity for me to go and exercise and listen to all the things that I tell myself not to do it, because I'm probably going to do this in food too, to listen to myself. Like, it would be really good for you to listen to yourself when you are exercising without someone for what chatter comes up. It's probably because you have thoughts about yourself too when you're exercising. So, but also just have like compassion for like, when you do something with other people, like your brain notices this is different, and it's not going to want to do the different thing. So just be like, that's normal. There's no reason to be upset about it. I probably am not going to want to do it, and that's okay, but I'm still going to do it. I'm losing weight great, but down 45 pounds. I'm afraid to start exercising, afraid I will gain muscle and stop losing. If you're eating at a calorie deficit, you can't gain muscle. Period. Trust me. From someone who has been trying to add muscle for 14 years, it does not happen. You would have to eat like a bodybuilder, which means you're going to have to eat like 6 to 7 times a day and 3 to 4,000 calories if you want to build some muscle. I have 45 pounds to go. What should I do? Start slower weight. Here's the thing. Start exercising. Start slow. Don't go out like a banshee. What happens is most people think, well, you're gaining muscle, girl. Come on now. That's what's happening. You're exercising. No, that's fucking bullshit. Here's what's happening. When you're losing weight and you start exercising, your muscle starts retaining some water because it's being damaged. Nobody's gaining muscle. Like, that is just like, even if it barely happens, it's never enough to even matter. Here's what really happens, though. When you start exercising, you may find initially that you start getting increased hunger signals. Your body has more energy demand. It wants to meet the energy demand. But it's most of us, what we do is we eat because we're exercising, and we need to just not do that. Very rarely are we ever exercising at such a clip that we need to be eating to compensate. I have a few girls in here that are training for marathons and Ironmans. They need to do that. Just about anything below the half marathon, which is 2.5 hours a day, something along those lines, doesn't need extra sustenance and fuel. What we do here by listening to our body will do you just fine. The problem is that if you have a little increased hunger, sometimes you first start exercising, you're going to need to feel a -2 to a -3 for a little bit. And you're going to need to listen to your brain and manage it, because it's going to want to eat more. This is what will happen. Oh my gosh, I'm extra hungry. I've been exercising, so I'm going to have this real healthy snack. And then it's like, then you're still going to eat dinner and stuff. And your healthy snack is going to be like 200 to 300 calories. Like, I go out for a 90-minute walk every day. and burn about 300 calories. I can go do a Peloton bike ride for like 45 minutes to 60 minutes, all balls out. Like if you balls out workout, you're going to burn 500 a day. Okay. Most of us, what we do is we end up bullshitting and eating about 600 to 700 extra all day long with healthy snacks and shakes and a little extra at dinner and all this other stuff. And the next thing you know, you're spiking your insulin and your body is getting hungry. So it's like understanding, like add the exercise in, drink a lot of water, for sure be getting your sleep. If you're going to add exercise in, you want to be getting your sleep. That's going to help stabilize hunger. And then don't add food. Unless you are competing in some kind of an event, guys, don't add food for exercise. It's very rare that we ever need to. Like a lot of you guys, like I work out pretty aggressively every week. I do not eat after I work out. It is 2 to 4 hours after I work out before I even look at food. I haven't ate yet today. And I got calls after this. I probably won't even eat until at least noon or one today. Just because I'm choosing not to because I don't have time. I don't want to rush through it. When I eat, I want to enjoy it. And I was out there walking for damn near 2 hours today. Oh, me and my walks. I'm down 55 pounds, but I can only focus on the 150 I still need to lose. How can I be more happy about my progress instead of saying things like, I lost 55 pounds, it could be more. Stop saying it. Like, this is the thing. Here's how you start getting focused. What am I doing today? I have lost this amount of weight. I'm working on the next 50, but I'm never going to say, but it could be more. No, it couldn't. You know why? Because it isn't. Thinking that it could be more is like saying, man, I'm just like, somehow I have magic powers. I'm going to go to the past. I'm going to change it all. It couldn't be anymore. I've lost this much. It set me up to lose the next. What have I learned? So that the next 50, we're on our way. Like, those are the things. It's all about your thought line. So for those of you who are like, tell me what I could be thinking, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go and listen to module 4 of No BS. Listen to the model and start getting good at understanding my thoughts create my feelings, create my actions. Whatever thoughts you're having, guys, that you don't like, you can't just dead stop them. They're going to come in, but stop not liking them. That's the part you can like totally control. Allow that thought to come in and then allow yourself to take ownership of it and redirect it to be, and this is the thought we choose to think. I redirect my mind all day long. Hell, I redirect my mind when I'm on this call half the time. That is the way it goes. Your brain is always going to throw up neurological junk. It's never going to stop doing that. You're not going to somehow figure out how to be like, now all my thoughts are happy. Your brain is just not designed to do that. It's designed to find the problems. It knows that the next 50 pounds is going to require you to keep doing what you're doing. So it's like, ugh. Let's make it a little bit more difficult. Maybe we can go back to eating them donuts. That was so much more fun. All you want to do is you just want to like have that thought come in and then just be like, no, it couldn't have been more. This has been great. I have learned so much and this sets me up for the next 50. And then you just go on about your day and then it'll come up like 30 more times that day. And guess what? You have the same conversation 30 more times that day and you never get pissed, angry, mad, or frustrated that it happens. You're grateful that you're one of the few, like 1% of the world that understands you get to direct your thoughts. You don't have to just believe it because you think it now. Exactly how do I know I'm at my negative 4? You don't. That's part of the challenge. You figure it out. You start listening. You get hungrier than you're used to. And you kind of think, I think this might be my negative 4. Guys, I'm going to tell you, this is all about you being... Like, I need to let go of my idea that there is a rule out there for how this is all going to work. And like, oh, I'm supposed to be listening and guessing and tweaking and being like, okay, now I figured it out. But you got to be willing to get in there and be sloppy with it. A negative 4 is hungrier than negative 2. Can you give me a mantra for when my feelings of disappointment and sadness over friendship that has shifted from best friends to just friends? I don't want to judge and take it for what it is now. If there is one line I can repeat to myself when those feelings pop up. Disappointment and sadness. I am disappointed and sad because of what I'm thinking about this relationship. That's the mantra. Like, this is where you have to get crystal clear. In relationships especially, if you're disappointed, we want to make sure that we understand it's like, I'm disappointed because of how I'm thinking and feeling about it, because of the story I'm telling about it. It is not because of the friend. The friend didn't do anything. You know what the friend did? The friend was there. The friend had actions. And then you started a model. That's all that happened. When you do that, you don't need a mantra to feel better. You don't need anything else. You're like, when I'm done being disappointed and sad, I'll be done with that part. Because I'll know. Like, here's the thing. When you're disappointed and sad, you can shift out of it whenever you want, as long as you know you're the one who's causing the pain. If it's somebody else's fault, guess what? You don't get to shift out of disappointment and sadness whenever you want. You're still waiting on that to change. Same thing if you think the past has caused your feelings. It's like, oh, if the past caused my feelings, that means the past has to change before I get to feel better. No. If all of you, if you will just be like, whatever feeling you're experiencing, even like when it's like, a really good way to get cozy with this, because it's I'm going to tell you, it's a harder concept for most of us to understand that our negative feelings are all our own fault. They're our fault because we're thinking things. And the reason why that's hard is because we want to blame. We want it to be someone else's fault. We want all this. We're so used to all of that victim mentality shit, right? But a good way to like really get good at this is to start taking ownership of when you feel good. So the reason why I feel good right now is because of the thoughts I'm thinking about my husband. The reason why I'm feeling good about my body is because of the thoughts I'm thinking about me and my body. The reason why, like, if somebody sends me flowers, it's not because they're so great. It's because I think they're great. And that's what feels good. So start with, like, anytime that you're experiencing, like, a lot of you love my Facebook Lives, right? A lot of you will think it's my Facebook Live. It's like, cringe just makes me feel so good. Cringe just makes so much sense. Everything is, like, I just have so much clarity when Cringe speaks. That is not what happens. Cringe says words, and then you apply a thought to it. Like, I really like what she's saying. That is what allows you to feel something. Just like when you guys lose weight, a lot of you be like, Corinne, you changed my life. My mentor actually did an amazing podcast. I wish all of you would listen to it today. It is her podcast. What is the name of it today? It's the lifecoachschool.com. I don't know the episode number. Let me look it up. Like, it was so good that I have the mentors all as required listening. They have to listen to it. And I will tell you guys what it is if I can find her menu. Come on, Brooke. Where is your menu for your podcast? I need to let her know the menu's not working. Okay. Episode number 274, Returning Models. Everybody listen to it. It's so good. In fact, I want to do my own thing with it. But for now, everybody can just listen to it. So it's episode 274, Returning Models. You can go to thelifecoachschool.com and you'll be able to see your podcast and everything. A lot of times, like, you guys will lose weight and then you will tell me, like, you changed my life. I didn't change dick. All right. You lost weight. Or let's put it this way. I joined PNP January of 2018 and lost X amount of pounds. You had, like, when you listened to No BS, when you did everything, you had thoughts about it. Like, this will work. I'm giving it my all. It won't be easy, but I'm going to do it. She makes sense. All of those are your thoughts that cause feelings in you, like determination, commitment, willingness, whatever it is, right? A lot of you will get on coaching calls. You'll go through doubt, insecurity, fear, shame, embarrassment. You'll go through all the things, and all of that created actions for you that resulted in weight loss. That's your model. It was never me. But a lot of you attribute things that happen in your life to something else. And what I want you to understand is that it's never that. It's always, always, always. If you feel anything, take ownership that it's because I've generated the thought to feel this. You may not like how your friend showed up, but just decide I'm disappointed because I don't like that behavior. The story I tell myself about her not calling me or her going out with other people and not inviting me, whatever it is that I'm unimportant. But always remember, it's like, I'm thinking I'm unimportant. It's not because she thinks I'm unimportant. It's because I'm reading her actions as unimportant. When you do that and you say it to yourself often enough and you think this often enough, you really start getting a grip on like, God, do I even want to be disappointed? Like, I may not want to like hang out with her as much anymore, but I'm not going to hang out. Here's the reason why I'm going to hang out. It's not because I'm unimportant. It's because she's going out with other people. So I'm going to go out with other people. Like, nobody has to be disappointed anymore. Like, that's when you start really understanding things. So when you can keep remembering on mantras, whenever you feel anything, guys, if you can't even go, like, before you even go to a happy thought or anything, just say, the reason why I'm feeling this is because of something I'm thinking, and that's all that's happening right now. So if I'm thinking it, when I understand what I'm thinking, then if I don't like this, then I can change it. Or I can be in ownership of like, yeah, this is just like one of those times when we're disappointed in someone, when we're sad. Like, I was coaching someone yesterday about fear for a child. It's like, it's probably one of the times you want to, like, it's okay to be in fear. But we don't have to worry and stuff. We can just understand the reason why I'm scared is because it's normal for a mother to be scared. It's when we resist fear, we try to hide it, and we don't want it to be there, and we do all these other things. It's like, I wouldn't be so scared if she hadn't have, you know, did whatever. It's like, that's not helpful. Like, always remember, it's the story I tell myself that causes my feelings. Would you suggest handling holidays for some ideas on business travel? Yep. Yeah, no, I would listen to Handling the Holidays. It's the same kind of stuff. It's all about like understanding your thoughts and feelings about business travel. Most of us think when we go out of town that somehow we can't just be in control of our mouth. It's like, well, I don't know where I'm eating, and I don't know who I'm going to be with, and girl, you know it's all free, and all this other stuff. It's like we can come up with 5,000 excuses to overeat if we want to. You know what the hard thing to do is? Come up with a commitment of what we're actually going to do. Being real that nothing changes when we travel. Nothing changes. It's the 24-hour plan. Boring as fuck. It's the hunger scale. Boring as fuck. It's what it is. Doesn't get no more exciting. When we travel for business, guess what we get to do? We get to be around foods we normally aren't. We get to experience what it's like to honor our commitment. Not as fun. But it's not impossible, it's not hard, and it's not out of our control. Those are the thoughts we have. All because we just don't want to honor commitment. We don't want to go through the moment when it's going to be like, oh, wow. This is one of those times Corinne talks about. It's one of those 3 minutes of the day that I am dragging out all April, May, and June and not getting any progress on. I'm making all of my little small 3 minutes hose me for months on end because in that moment, I don't want to tell myself no. Spend more time, guys, practicing and visualizing how often you can tell yourself no. Say no often and quit doing shitty behaviors and thoughts faster. Those are like two key things for you guys. I drink 80 ounces of water a day and asleep. I follow the 2 to 2. I'm a June baby sitting at my original weight. Could drinking 1 to 2 drinks 3 to 4 nights a week be the main thing keeping the weight on? Yeah. This is, let me ask you this. If I said, hey, I got this new weight loss program and I want you to do all these things, but you think it'd be all right if I just eat 1 or 2 candy bars 3 or 4 nights a week? What do you think about that? If we inserted candy bar in there, which is going to be about the equivalent of 1 to 2 drinks a night, 3 to 4 nights a week, would you be like, I wonder why I'm not losing weight. I'm only having candy bars 3 to 4 nights a week. Most of you would be like, oh. That's what happens when we're drinking. You got to decide. You want the drinks or do you want your weight loss? The other thing you could be doing is make sure your 2 to 2 is dialed in. Like, really make sure it's dialed. If you're going to be having drinks, you got to be like really thinking about this. That might be the only thing staying your way. Can you get it to just one drink 3 nights a week? And I would ask myself, why would I say no to that? Like, be like, my reason for no is, and it's probably going to be all these bullshit thoughts. And those are the thoughts standing in the way of losing weight. I'm not saying you guys can't drink to lose weight, but if your scale is showing you, like, something's wrong. It's either the quality of food within your 2 to 2. It's probably the drinking. Like, I really, like, 1 to 2 drinks, even if it's just wine, like, 2 glasses of wine is going to be 300 to 400 calories. It's like saying I'm going to eat a big-ass candy bar and question why I can't lose weight. In the middle of a lot of stressful things that are completely out of my control. They're not out of your control. That is never going to be a helpful thought, Stacy. There's circumstances, and everything you think about that is all in your control. Nobody controls your brain. You may be allowing them to, but that can stop whenever you're ready. I'm finding TDLs leading to more anxiety because I can't find a solution, which I know logically there isn't one. Like, be specific and tell me what's going on. It just brews more and even chose to binge because I didn't want to think about it anymore. Then quit thinking about it. Here's the thing. If you don't want to think about it anymore, I'm going to give all my binge eaters and all my people like the most helpful tip ever. I don't want to think about this anymore. So rather than going and binging, saying like, I'm done thinking about it. Your brain will want to go there. Stop. Like, say, like, we're not thinking about that. I don't care if it takes 5,000 times. I want you to listen to what you said. I binged because I didn't want to think about it anymore. Rather than saying, I decided to quit thinking about it because it was useless. Because if all I'm doing is worrying and stuff, I know that shit's useless. So I'm not thinking about that. Think about Christmas, 85. Whatever you need to drum up. Graduation day, y'all loved it. It was so much fun and I got gifts. Like, put your brain to work on something else. Something just random ass. And do that over and over and over again. You don't have to binge to quit thinking, guys. There are no life-altering events that are out of your control. That is a thought. That is the thought you need to be putting in your model, Stacy. It's literally a thought. I want you to think, like, the model would be the event. You have decided this is life-altering and out of my control. You have two thoughts. This is out of my control. This is life-altering. Whatever this is. That's what you're choosing to think about it. Even if you just get into the next thought of, I keep thinking this is life altering. Like, what if it's just, this has changed things and I know eventually a solution will come. It just won't be today. That's getting out of it way better than the way you're doing it. You're acting like identifying those thoughts is causing you the pain. That's not what's causing the pain. You not identifying the thoughts and letting your brain create more outrageous stories for yourself is causing more pain. I want all of you to hear this who fight thought work. You think finding thoughts causes pain. It was always there. You wouldn't be here if everything was working so perfectly. Finding the thoughts doesn't cause pain. Finding the thoughts shows you what's actually happening anyway. It's just now, once you find the thoughts, you get to do something about it if you want to. And rather than judging it and thinking, now that's causing me anxiety. No, that's not what causes you anxiety. another thought about that causes you anxiety, which is probably like, I don't like seeing this. It's like, you need to see this. It's happening. Your brain's running wild, and now you're binging. It's like, obviously we need to see it, because when we're not looking, we're growing the problem. The more I don't look, the bigger the problem becomes. I'm like, because I don't want to deal with this, now I'm going to become a binge eater. And that way I can work on binging. So I don't have to focus on this. Now I can just be a binge eater who's focused on binge eating. That is what we do. We create another problem to take focus off of a problem, rather than like saying, I just want to examine my thoughts about this one. Let me just examine my thoughts about this circumstance. Let me get it to a circumstance. You need to get it to a circumstance. Any ETA on the new planner and smaller purse size? The last edits are going to the designer after this call, like the very last edits. The mentors have already seen it and done their stuff to it. The purse size will come out right after that. It's probably going to be releasing in August. Should I do a recovery sheet if we decide to eat in town, but I ate a healthy choice? I would, just because I like to always see them. I don't think of recovery worksheets as a bad thing. I think that they are the most useful tool I'll ever do for myself. So there would be no reason why I wouldn't want to do a recovery worksheet, even if it's just because I switched gears on something. I find my overeating is a lot of me saying, I just want it. That's almost everybody. That's right before an urge. Most people, that's mine. I just want it. Looks good. This is gonna be fun. That's usually mine. How can I work on overeating because of entitlement? What can I tell myself instead? I'm not entitled like a dog. I like to remind myself, here's what I'm entitled to: a great life. I'm entitled to control my thoughts and my feelings. I'm not entitled to a cheesecake. Said no one ever. A lot of us try to think that, but not a good idea. I'm halfway through my weight loss journey and I'm starting to get sloppy and gain weight. I'm afraid I cannot keep it off. I'm even more afraid. Then quit getting sloppy. Rather than sitting around being afraid of what you're doing, dissect where the sloppy is and clean it up. What are some thoughts I can use when I have lost 50 pounds and have 50 more to go? We're not done yet. That's the biggest one. Like, I would just be like, I've lost 50 and we're not done yet. A lot of you get hung up in like, I've lost 50. This is good. It's like, it's not that it's not good, but look for thoughts that are really helpful and ones that aren't helpful. Sometimes we will have thoughts that feel good, but they're not creating energy required to lose 50 more pounds. So like, this is amazing, feels good, but it also feels like I'm just enjoying this. But if I have 50 more to go, what I want is a thought that says, this is amazing, and it has set me up to do the next 50. We need to add a little something onto the back end of it to create the feeling. So creating the energy means I'm going to create the feeling. I'm going to start. One thing that I would do, Karen, all of you have been asking me about this. Here's what I would do. Hey, somebody says, what's the intentional and unintentional models? Mary Jo, will you please comment and tell her to go to module 4 of No BS. Everything is explained in module 4. That's what those are. One of the things I would do for all of you who were asking about certain things, like when it comes especially to like stalls, like Bobby, you asked about like I'd gained 10 pounds. I need to figure out like any tips, that kind of stuff. There's no tips for all this. Here's what you want to do. You need to sit down each day and do like Corinne does. I always ask, one of the most powerful things that I do for me, not only is, well, I'll give you a couple. These are tips. All right. Sorry about that. It is tips. But it's not tips like you guys think. Y'all are always wanting to, like tips of like how do you do something? And it's like, well, this is more like conceptual. I write down my goal every day. Every day. Whatever my goals are, they get written down in my planner's downstairs every single day. And I talk about it as I'm doing it. Let's pretend that I'm Bobby Ritchie and I've got 10 pounds to lose. And say, Bobby, you want to go from 140 to 130. I don't know what your weight range is, but you're pretty tiny. Then you would write down, I weigh 130 pounds and maintain in like a boss. You would write it down as if it's a done deal. And then what you do is you don't say like, I will, I'm trying, I'm going to. There's none of that. Because what happens is when you do that kind of wording, your brain thinks it's like, oh, we're going to be working on that. Like someday, like out in the future, it doesn't really take action now and start becoming that person. So you say like I weigh 130 pounds and maintain it with ease. And in order to be that person, they need to feel what? Like, so what is the, what feeling do I want to generate on purpose today? So when, if you know you are going to have to lose 10 to get there, today's feeling needs to be determined. Maybe today's feeling needs to be uncomfortable. I need to find a lot of discomfort in food today. I need to make sure that I'm practicing discomfort in food today. A lot of us want to feel like ease and blah, 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 and rainbows and daisies. And so for sometimes, like to get over the hump when you've noticed you've gotten sloppy, restless, antsy, and uncomfortable are the on-purpose feelings you want to have for the day. Because that means what's going to happen is I really need to feel antsy at 4 o'clock. Because I have been kind of sloppy putting some snacks back in. So what I don't need to do to feel at 4 o'clock is I don't need to feel at ease and calm. That's probably not going to happen. Not if I've been eating my face off every day at 4 o'clock. What I need to be willing to feel is I need to feel some discomfort. I'm going to need to feel antsy and restless. And I'm going to gear myself up so that at that time of day, that's what I want to, like, that's the feelings I want to generate. So when I get in there, what's going to generate those feelings? Today, we're not snacking. We're not having it today. Today's the day we honor our plan. No matter what. At 4 o'clock today, I'm all in for feeling a little bit like ass simply because I'm going to be honoring my plan. Not because I'm arguing in my head, saying I can't have it, throwing a bullshit temper tantrum. That is not the same as antsy, restless, and uncomfortable. That's resistance. That's white knuckling. That's a temper tantrum. That feels bad. There's a difference between feeling discomfort because you're choosing to do what you know gives you a long-term benefit and like rolling up in there expecting to just everything to work out and then arguing with yourself until you give in, which is what most of you are doing. How do you tell the difference between a 0 and a plus 2? For me, a plus 2, like I can just kind of tell in my stomach. Everybody's a little, this would be like a really good question to post in the tribe. Let people give you signals that they get. For me, it's like a 0, like I can tell I can eat more. Like I don't have my stomachs growling, but it feels kind of still empty. That's me. Can you suggest examples of why I'm worth it for the challenge? Yeah, like if I was going to tell myself why am I worth it? I'm worth it because like I'm God's child. That's one. I'm Chris's wife. I mean, I think of all kinds of reasons why I'm worth it. You can, I mean, you can, it doesn't even have to just be like why I'm worth it. It's like why am I worth losing weight? Because I want to be here a long time. I want to be on this earth a long time. I'm worth the effort because my family loves me. And they want me here for a long time. Those are all really good reasons. But you can pick anything you want. That's another one, guys. When we get to the I'm worth it stuff, you know, y'all post in this group and see what other people like. A lot of times I like to just, I pick up thoughts from you guys all the time and use them. I notice I've been slacking on my water the past couple days and I haven't been able to sleep on those nights. Yes, it is for sure connected. For sure. Water, like being well hydrated allows you to sleep even deeper. Any tips on increasing your abundance mentality? I struggle with my relationship to food and money and it feels so similar. I always feel like there's never enough and would love to shift that thought. One is I wouldn't think that there's never enough. I would just be like, I'm in charge of creating it. Like when abundance for me, like I always think about like if it comes to food is I create the relationship with food. I decide if it's enough or not is probably a next level step for you, rather than thinking there's never enough, there's never enough, there's never enough. Same thing with money. It's kind of like with money, you want to think about, like, you know, are you earning it because you feel like there's not enough? Or are you earning it because you feel like you can create? And that's kind of the difference. Would you consider creating a bonus course on confidence? I could. I can put that on the list for sure. Self-love is very similar to it. You know, somewhere we actually do have confidence. Oh, one of the modules has, one of the bonus courses has some stuff on confidence. Guys, which one is it? Is it Taking Big Ass Action? Look up the Taking Big Ass Action bonus course. I think there's a section on confidence in there. Like, this just sounds like, I know this sounds ridiculous, guys, but I do so many courses for you guys. I talk about so many things. Sometimes I forget, like, everything that we have, but I'm like, I feel 100% sure there is a lesson on confidence in Taking Big Ass Action. Take a look there. Can I flip my unhelpful thoughts like, I don't care, screw it, which always come up at the end of the day? Yeah. So what I would do is like say, I don't care something I think, and here's why I care. Screw it is something I think, and here's how I'm not screwing myself today by doing these things. I even forget to pause, but I TDL and realize these thoughts are popping up every day. So now that you know that those are the thoughts, you need to like start TDLing on the things that you're willing to tell yourself. Take that piece of paper and have it where you're normally doing this eating. And then you make a, like, you're going to need to make a plan for like, all right, if I want to say screw it and I want to not care and all this other stuff, before I do all of that, then I have to read why I do care and why it's important to me. And I have to like, I have to do these things first, then I eat whatever I want. If I still feel like it after that, go for it. Otherwise, but a lot of you are just will bypass that step. And I'm just like, just do it. You still get to eat if you want to. What's the harm? Time. It's like, well, fuck. You're wasting time overeating. Let's just invest some time in this, and then you can get off. You can go back to wasting time if you want. Wasting your time is always available if you want it. Can you talk a little bit about shifting our thoughts in the moment when we're feeling frustrated with our kids? The preschool tantrums. Yeah, this one is where, like, I had to do a lot of work when Logan was little because he threw, oh gosh, really bad tantrums all the way up until he was like 9. And one of the things I just did was I had to really have compassion for myself that sometimes I was like the first thing I have to do is like I had to do is really understand that it's normal to get frustrated, to understand the reason why I'm frustrated is because I'm thinking my child shouldn't behave this way. That was really helpful for me to understand. I'm like, I think they shouldn't be having a tantrum. That would be the only reason why I'm frustrated, rather than being like, of course they're having a tantrum. It's not fun for either of us. Like, I would start thinking things like that, and that really helped me lessen my frustration. Because when I was really jacked up, when I thought that, like, he shouldn't be doing it, I shouldn't be frustrated, we should all just be better than this and blah, 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 then I had to really come to grips with like, oh my God, there are just going to be some tantrums and there's going to be some things. And I need to understand that when he's doing it, he's not doing it on purpose. It shouldn't be any different than it is. That this is just part of life. And it's okay that if in the moment as a mom that like I'm having to manage my mind, and I'll be doing the best I can. And I'm just going to tell you, like, even Logan is a teenager now. He sometimes still has these tantrums. They're just carryovers from, you know, and I'm sure all teenagers do this. I don't really know. I only have my one. But a helpful thought for me usually is that this is just part of his autism brain still working its way through some emotions that he doesn't know how to respond to yet. I mean, that's always been really helpful for me. Not that your kid has autism, but it's like I just like to think about like when somebody is tantruming, including myself with my husband at 45 years old, it's because there is some emotion someone doesn't know how to deal with it yet. They haven't figured that piece out. It's not because it shouldn't be happening. And it's not because our life's bad. And like understanding that your brain will want to go to all of that. That's where frustration starts. So just even understanding that it's like, the only reason I'm frustrated right now is not because of the tantrum. It's because of what I'm making it mean. And that a lot of times just allows you to have a little patience in the moment. It doesn't mean that it's all happy, because that's not what we want. We don't want to like, I'm not going to be the kind of mom, and I don't want to be the kind of mom that in the middle of a tantrum is just like, oh my God, we're learning our emotions. Like, that's not the point. The point is to not sit there and think it shouldn't be happening. The point is to be like, yeah, this is the not fun part, and that's okay. Eventually, they're going to learn how to deal with your emotions. One day, this part will be over. Unless they're Corinne, and she's 45 and still having tantrums. Is grazing the same thing as binging? They're different. I don't like to feel full, so I don't think I binge, but I can graze frequently. You don't need to feel full anyway, so you can quit your grazing. You're supposed to only feel a two, which is satisfied, not full. So stop grazing. This is what I notice what will jack a lot of people. Like, a lot of you have got to feel hungry. You go from feeling zero to two. You're constantly craving. You're never letting yourself get hungry. Your body was designed to be hungry. If you don't allow it to get hungry, it stores fat like crazy. It was never intended to be fed like this. Our bodies weren't meant to be fed every 2 to 3 hours. I want you to think about back in the day. I gave this example the other day when my grandmother grew up on a farm. 9 kids, 100 hands. They ate twice a day and worked the fields in the hot fucking Alabama sun. And somehow we think we need snacks. Like, I need a snack. I started working out. I need a snack. No, you don't. What we need to do is we need to realize our body was always meant to tap into its own fat stores. That it like chemically is designed that way. You need to allow it to get there, which means you're going to need to disallow a lot of your bullshit thinking around being hungry and what it means and all this other stuff. So let yourself get a little hungry, then eat, and then allow it to wait. And guys, like, if you think, well, I might be letting myself get hungry, but then like 2 hours later, I want a snack. Go 4 or 5 hours. Just do it for a couple days to really experience a little bit of hunger, to see what it's really like, see if it's tolerable. Some of you think your zero is hungry because you've knocked the edge off of hunger. And you get like the slightest thought that you're hungry and you think, that's my negative two, time to eat. It's like, wait a little bit and just see what happens. That's why today is such a good thing on the hunger scale, because we're having you wait until a negative four. What I'm wanting you to do is I want you to get like actually really hungry. Like, where you feel like, yeah, this is like, there's no fucking mistaking it now. I'm hungry. Not hangry, though. Not my blood sugar. Oh, Lord. Somebody call me an ambulance. Not that shit. Like, I'm not even at a negative four yet. It's like, you feel really flattened out. You for sure probably have some stomach growls. You catch yourself, like, I'm thinking about food. Like, I would eat a healthy meal right now. Like, I wouldn't just eat something. I would eat a healthy meal. That's when you know you're in real hunger. How do I move from viewing my 24-hour plan from have to do to want to do? You don't even want to move it to want to do. It's like, it's my damn plan. I ain't having to do anything. I feel like I bang it out without much thought to turn it into my accountability group right away. Well, stop doing that. Like, your accountability group can't wait for you to turn your plan in on one that you'll actually commit to. Obviously, you don't have to do it. Because here's the thing. If you ain't doing it, you've already proven the rule. You don't have to do shit. Guys, y'all make your own damn plans. Nobody is sitting... If I could afford P&P police to come busting in some of these doors and be like, where's your fucking plan? Are you eating on plan? If not, you're going to the P&P jail. I would do it. But short of that ever happening, guess what we're all doing? Following our plan or not following our plans, all because we choose it. Nobody makes you follow it, and nobody makes you break it. It is always like, my action line Your action line of the model is follow the plan or eat off the plan. There's only two options. Everything else above it is, I got a feeling and a thought that's driving me to do whatever I do. Nowhere in there is anybody else. No accountability groups. I don't care if you, like, and this is such a good practice. So for those of you who, like, you know what? No, my accountability group, Kryn, just, we got this. Like, they do things for me. They're helping me lose weight. I couldn't live without my lemons. Like all those crazy names y'all got for your accountability groups. They're still not responsible for it. Even if you're having amazing success, you're responsible for it. Take ownership of all of it, which means, like, I turn in my 24-hour plan. Whatever thought you have is what's going to do the feeling and the action. Right now, your thought is, I better hurry up and just get something submitted. Well, that's bullshit. What if it's just like, I'm going to take my sweet-ass time and make sure I'm committed before I turn it in? There's another thought we could be doing, because when I do or do not eat it today, it's all on me, not on them. All right. All right, guys, that's all I got today. Y'all have a good one. What is today? Thursday? All right, so I will see you guys tomorrow and for, the weekend motivator. Is that tomorrow? Yeah, for the weekend motivator. So I will be back and at noon Central Time. Y'all have a good one, and I will talk to you soon. Bye, y'all.